Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning, all.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest Providence City Councilor Sam Zurier, who represents Ward 2 on the city's east side. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Councilor Zurier, you decided earlier this year not to seek re-election after two terms on the city council. During your time on the council, you focused on two issues, the city's underperforming public schools and the crushing unfunded pension liability. There's been little to no progress on these issues. So do you have any optimism that the situation will really improve over the next 4 years?
Well, with regard to the pension, and I might say that I wasn't only interested in the pension, but the city's finances generally. My hope is that the city will be able to make the case to the state that this is an important issue for the well-being of the entire state and not just the city. We saw how the city could do that under Tavares. He had a Category 5 fiscal hurricane. He presented a comprehensive checklist of things that needed to be done. He brought everybody together, including the state, and that's what I would like to see happen there. As far as the schools go, I think this is a statewide issue that needs to be addressed. We recently saw the MCAS scores come out that contrast us with Massachusetts, and I think there's a lot we can learn from Massachusetts. They enacted a comprehensive education reform package in 1993. They were able to do that because of a judicial court decree that there was a right to education. That, in turn, gave the elected officials political cover to make difficult decisions. We have not had the political will to make difficult decisions about public education here in Rhode Island, and perhaps either an amendment to the Constitution or a decree from a court could provide us with that.
Maureen, what will it take, in your view, to create the political will necessary to improve public education in Rhode Island?
Well, I think the first step is we all have to acknowledge the jig is up. We've been talking about reforming public education. We've been delaying. We've been trying different tests. We've obfuscated the fact that everyone knows that it is inferior. And now the standard set by Massachusetts gives us a benchmark. And we have to have the political will to follow through. This is critical and disgraceful. And here I would say, in terms of, I wouldn't wait for a constitutional amendment. I would insist that someone like the governor get together and start making some concrete proposals and reforms. This is an issue that has to be dealt with right away and during this next administration.
Scott, what are the chances that Governor Raimondo will really take on the issue of public education now that she is not going to have to seek re-election for governor?
It's difficult to say at this point, only because you need the legislature to do anything in Rhode Island. We have a court precedent from the state Supreme Court that says basically our General Assembly is a large school committee. And I think they need the political will, as Councilor Zurier says, to get in there. It's going to cost some money. We need a strategy, a good strategy, and then do what Massachusetts did. Stick with it.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about the controversial proposed 46-story Fane Tower in the I-195 district in Providence. Councilor Zurier, you're among the councilors who oppose this proposal. Tell us why.
I'd like to put on the table a procedural issue and then a substantive one. Procedurally, there's a saying that goes back to Bismarck: if you like laws and sausages, you never want to see either one being made. And even by the sausage standard, the procedures here have been terrible. What happened here was that the proposal was rejected after a public hearing by the Ordinance Committee, and then in an unprecedented decision, it was brought back for a second public hearing, allegedly because the developer wasn't invited to the first one, which has never happened before. Then, instead of having a vote from the Ordinance Committee that night, they waited until the Thursday after the election, so they moved it over into the lame duck. Now, we've seen nationally how legislatures in Wisconsin and Michigan are acting under the lame duck in arguably in anti-democratic ways. I'm a lame duck. I'm not entirely pleased at doing a lot of things, but I know that my successor views this exactly the same way as I do, and that the voters who elected her felt that way. But we are right now in a situation where people are making decisions that may be contrary to what the voters expressed in November.
Scott, supporters view this proposal as a $300 million investment, but opponents and even Mayor Alorza point to concerns about whether the building will actually be built and whether the property might just be land banked. How do you see that?
Well, I think you can tie the developer up with provisions that ensure that it can't be land banked, because we don't want that land to be under any kind of a land banking regime.
And land banking for our listeners means that the land would just be held while its value could potentially increase over time.
Yes, and that would also perhaps would thwart other development down there in this wonderful prime part of downtown Providence, which taxpayers have spent millions and millions of dollars developing over the years, taking down the highway and so forth. I have to say that Councilor Zurrier, I think, if I can read between the lines there, has a pretty good idea. Let's let the new council make this decision, because the voters just recently spoke, and these are the people who are going to be there for the next 4 years. The other thing is, I think it's not enough for the governor to sit on the sidelines and just say she's disappointed that Mayor Alorza and developer Fain could not reach agreement. I mean, I don't know why, coming off a resounding victory, that she, who lives in Providence, lives on the east side, that she can't get her hands dirty a little bit and get in there and see if she can come up with some kind of a compromise that all sides can live with.
Maureen, there are some compelling arguments on both sides of this debate. Is this an important symbolic issue for economic growth in Providence?
Unfortunately, I think it is. I mean, I think there's a problem here in that while we can talk about the process and the procedure, the fact is that this project, the whole land development, is going on for years. Nothing has happened. And for us to turn this down, I just think sends the wrong message. I can't speak to the aesthetics of it. I don't know about whether the building is right or wrong. I do know that we have to move ahead and we have to try to get something done. And the other idea is, you know, Sam, when you say, well, the voters wanted this, you mean they voted in a referendum? I mean, do the voters know? I'm confused about how much public input we have to pay attention to in terms of the aesthetics of a building and that kind of development.
Okay. I'm less concerned about the aesthetics than I am with the integrity of the comprehensive plan of the city. One of the most important developments on the I-195 is the Wexford complex, which is going to generate many, many more jobs than this tower if it's approved. The tower will generate 80 jobs, each of which pay $35,000. The developer of the Wexford project has said that if he had known that the comprehensive plan in the city was going to be violated in this way, he would have seriously reconsidered whether to develop in Providence. The comprehensive plan is something that's required by state law. The City Plan Commission looked at this project, determined that it was inconsistent with the comprehensive plan, and when developers are not confident that the city will stick with its planning regime, they won't come. So, in fact, I think the future of that I-195 parcel and development throughout the city is endangered when we throw the comprehensive plan into the garbage.
We're almost out of time here, Councilor Zurrier, but what do you say to the argument from some that it's not often developers from out of town come to Rhode Island and have a willingness to put some of their own private money to work? Does that not argue in favor of trying to make this happen?
It certainly does. There's probably quite a bit of room between no project at all and what the developer proposed. In my opinion, he's been going in like a bulldozer.
That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the departing Ward 2 counselor from Providence's East Side, Sam Zurrier, thank you for joining us.
Thank you all for inviting me.
As usual, you can find a lot more on our website at thepublicsradio.org. I'm Ian Donis.